Living by faith. This is what the Bible says in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 20. These are words of Paul. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but now it is Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we think about faith, I have experienced so many times that it is almost a scary subject. It's a subject that sometimes we are not so comfortable with. And I've discovered that sometimes that is our approach towards it, because we feel, we believe that the subject of faith is all about me. I must have faith. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And so it is my duty, it is my responsibility as a Christian, I must somehow muster up, create, or make this faith that I am supposed to live by. And I can't do it. And if I can't do it, if I can't have faith, the Bible tells me I cannot please God. I have good news for you this morning. That is not the message of the Bible. You see, when we think about faith, faith is not something you or I can produce. It is not a commodity. There isn't a heavenly faith store. I told you last week, my son and his wife are expecting a baby. I'll probably tell you every week until it's born, because I am just so happy. But you know, they're looking for baby equipment. And one of the things that we're joining together with them to look for is as a baby stroller. And it's amazing when you start to look just how many hundreds and hundreds there are of them. And it can get a little bit confusing. And you think you've found just the right one, and then you find that the handle doesn't turn over and you can't push the baby forwards and backwards, or it only has brakes when it's going in one direction, or it's the wrong color, or whatever. And I think we're building up an amazing directory of all the baby stores in Korea. But there's not a faith store. Faith is not something that you go and purchase. Faith, neither is faith a DIY product. Do you know what DIY is? DIY stands for do it yourself. Yeah? It's when you have something around your home that needs making or fixing, and you do it yourself rather than hire in an expert. Not always the smartest thing to do. Pastor Jack spells DIY this way, HELL. Yeah, hell. He does not like DIY. He really doesn't. Faith is not the product of DIY. You and I cannot produce it. We can't go into our prayer closets and in frantic, ambitious desire to have faith pump up something within us that suddenly bursts forth and there is faith. And yet so many of us have tried these things. God, I can't make faith. I can't do it. I prayed some more. And I still don't have faith. It's because we can't produce it. It's gone very quiet. Maybe we're touching some real issues here. The Bible says, the life that I now live in this flesh body, I live by faith in the Son of God. Faith in Jesus Christ. That is where faith is found. That is where life is found. That is where healing is found. That is where our faith is found, in Jesus Christ. If faith was a commodity, if it was something that we could purchase, if it was something that we could work in order to be rewarded with it, it would not be part of our salvation. Because the whole of our salvation is found in Christ alone. The Bible says, he that has the Son, Jesus Christ, has life. He that does not have the Son does not have life. Everything pertaining to our eternal life is found in and through Jesus. And the very faith that we need to live the life and Christ lives through us is found in Christ as well. Right there is a massive burden that if you'll hear it, it will release you. It will set you free from this burden of having to try to make faith work for you. Faith is not the product of hours, days, weeks, months, years of studying the Word of God, trying to understand it. Faith is not the same as understanding God's Word. I believe understanding comes when we place faith in God's Word. But they're not the same. Faith is something that God works in our hearts. It is His work. It is a work of Jesus Christ. And if you have been spending all of your life since you became a Christian despairing because every time you attempt to produce faith, you feel that you fail, then stop trying to produce it, because you can't. It's not possible. If you're in the habit of shouting amen, praise the Lord, or hallelujah, or waving up a little placard that says amen, that's a good place to do it. My friends, that is liberating news. Faith is found in God. Jesus said on one occasion, have faith in God. Not just believe about Him, but have faith in your union with Him. Don't just place your hope in Him. Don't just look to Him to be the answer, the solution for all of your problems and needs. Have faith when you are in Him. That's where faith is. Outside of God, outside of our relationship with God through Jesus, we can't have faith. It is only in Him. Does this give us some indication of how important our relationship with God is? Christianity is not following a set of rules and doctrines and beliefs. That's religion. And there is no faith in religion. It is all about what I can do to impress a God who doesn't really interact with me, and I hope that I do enough to gain his favor so that one day he will accept me and receive me and take me into heaven. It's religion. It's not faith. It's not Christianity. Christianity is where by faith in God we have received Jesus Christ as the one who saves us from our sins and leads and becomes Lord and Master of our lives. That's Christianity. It's about relationship. Can you hear me this morning? Man, this will set us free. This will liberate us from the prison of failure. I don't know how many times I have heard people speak to me in despair and say, I want to believe. I'm trying to have faith. I'm trying to work faith in my heart, but it isn't happening. I say, no, it won't. Because faith is found only in God. Not just believing in him, in him. In that place of relationship. We're going to talk this morning about faith reality. And this is the reality of faith. This is where faith is born. This is where faith is found. Not within the mind of a man. Faith is not the human ability to believe in something. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things that are unseen. Faith, listen, is eternal. That doesn't just mean that faith will go on forever and ever. Faith, when it's found in God and placed in God and in his word, it is perfectly complete and it's completely perfect. It cannot be added to or taken away from. It will never diminish. It will never increase. Because it's faith in God. This is the reality of faith. And Paul says, I have been crucified in or with Christ. The old sinful nature, that which separated us from God, that which you and I were born with. The Bible says, because one man, Adam, sinned, so sin has been passed on to all men. We are born with a sinful nature. It separates us from God. When we're born again, when we're born of the Spirit of God, not only does God forgive our sin and remove it from us, the Bible says in the book of Colossians, he cancels the debt against us. Hallelujah. But not only does he do that, but he takes that sinful nature from within us and exchanges that for the nature of Jesus Christ. We have a new nature. That old nature is gone. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. He says, the old has gone, deceased, expired, dead, because it was crucified with Christ. Christ died and was buried. He took our sin, our sinful nature, with him into death, and he didn't bring it back again. Hallelujah. He left it there. when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit, he was raised into newness of life, eternal life. And that, my friend, is the life that we have been given and we have in Christ Jesus. That which was separating us from God, that which analyzed God's word, debated it, doubted it, questioned it, that which caused us to draw back and not believe what God says, the old sinful nature, is gone in Jesus' name. This, my friend, is why we can have faith in God through Jesus Christ. This is how we live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, we read that verse and we think that I must live by faith in the Son of God. And we collect together faith in the Son of God. That's how I must live. It's not what the verse is saying. It's saying, I live by faith in the Son of God. It's not a command and a duty that we've got to suddenly find this faith to live in Jesus. It's saying, I live this life. Christ lives his life in me and through me as I have faith in him. In him. Not about him. In him. I'm married, of course, to my wife. And the Bible says, therefore a man shall leave his mother and father and shall be joined to his wife, and the two will become one. One flesh. My wife and I are one. I could say this, I am in her and she is in me. In God's sight, we are one. I am in Christ and he is in me. We are united as one. Therefore, I have faith in him. Not about him. In him. Is that setting you free this morning? And you so happy that you don't have to produce this faith, pump it up through prayer? It's in him. Listen to this. Romans chapter 8, verse 2. Because you belong to him. Because you're one with him. Because you belong to him and he belongs to you. Because you belong to him, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the spirit, from the law of sin, from the power of sin that leads to death. How do we live in this freedom from the power of sin? In Christ. In him. Not by anything else that we do. Nothing. It's found only in Christ. And when we know and we see ourselves united as one with him, where God has poured his unlimited love into our hearts, and we've taken hold of the life that he's given to us, we know we're forgiven. And we know that we have been united with Christ in his death, in his burial, and praise God, in his resurrection. And the life that we live by faith in Christ. Amen. Faith reality. We're going to look at an amazing but true story from God's word about a man called Abraham. You ever heard about Abraham? Yeah, he was a character. He's mostly, you read about him in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, but we're going to read from about him in the book of Romans. Same Abraham. And we're going to learn some life lessons about faith. Is that okay? Now, here's an interesting first title. We've got this: God's Word, not God's Wand. God's Word, not God's Wand. I'm not in the habit of watching movies with witches and wizards. Am I right in saying Harry Potter is something like that? Yeah, I don't watch those. I don't say we shouldn't, but I don't watch those. But isn't it right that they are supposed sometimes to have like a magic wand? Sometimes you see magicians, don't you? Yeah, and they have this wand, which is this stick, which is supposed to have magic powers, and you know they tap something and it causes this rabbit to be in there or something. That kind of wand. Are we all understanding what the word wand is now? Is there another word that we could use? It's okay? Okay, good. As long as we're all on the same page, we all know what we're talking about. Let me read you this verse out of Romans 4. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. If you want to read more of the story of Abraham, start at Genesis 15. You'll have to read quite a few chapters. It is truly amazing. But there was a time when the Lord spoke to Abraham in a vision. And Abraham said to the Lord, Lord, I don't have a son. There was one of his servants who had a child in his household, but that was not his heir. He says, Lord, I don't have an heir. I don't have a son. And the Lord spoke to Abraham, and he said, Abraham, go outside. It was obviously nighttime, because there were all the stars that God had made. And God said, your descendants will be like the stars in the heavens. God gave his word to Abraham that he would be the father of many nations. If you read your story, you'll find that time did what it has the habit of doing. It passed, and he got older, and so did his wife, and they didn't have any children. And they got to the stage of life where he and she were naturally too old to produce children. And then God worked a miracle, and their son Isaac was born. Abraham believed God. He listened to God's word. He listened to what it was that God spoke to him. And Abraham believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Sometimes when we're attempting to exercise faith, we can take a hold of the Bible and we can use it almost as a magician would a magic wand, and hope that it works. We can find a scripture that we feel relates to a situation that we're in, and we can quote it and learn to rehearse it and repeat it, and we can even pray it, speak it in prayer. And we can wave God's word around, hoping that somehow the power that's within it will be released, and it will come to bear upon the situation that we need to see changed. Just like a magician supposedly does with his magic wand, and it doesn't work. I don't want to destroy your entertainment in magicians and illusionists and those sorts of people, but listen, what you see is not what's happening. You're being deceived. You think you know what's happening, but these guys and these girls are so quick and so clever that you don't actually see what's going on. We have a focus group. Rania, where's Rania? Oh, he's gone upstairs with them. We run a focus group for the young men in the youth age group, and we watched this video a couple of weeks back of a Christian illusionist, and this is exactly what he says. He said, it doesn't matter who they are, what you see is actually not what's happening. So let's not use the word of God that way, where we think if we just wave it around and we try to find something in it that relates to the situation that we're in, that if we just kind of wave it around like a wand, or we quote it like a spell or an incantation, that it's going to make a difference. My friend, that's not faith. You say, well, I'm using God's word, and you tell us that there's power in God's word. Yes, there is. There is power in God's word. But let me say this, that's misusing it. That's misusing it. You see, Abraham listened to what God said. He could have said to God, to Abraham, when Abraham said to him, Lord, I don't have a son, I don't have an heir. Abraham, God could have said, Abraham, you're right, and that's the way it's going to be. And Abraham would have had faith in God, and it would have been okay. You see, we need to listen to God. God speaks, and it's in his word where there is faith that we can hold on to. Not in a, like we said last week, not in a hope or a wish or a desire. You can wish for something. You can cross every finger, every toe. You can do whatever you think will cause it to happen, but it won't bring it into being. That isn't faith. Faith requires relationship with God. Faith requires us to listen, to hear the word of God. Not try to find something in there that marries up with what we want. If you take God's word out of context, you can do that. You can make it say whatever you want it to, but you take it out of context. When we do that, we are not putting faith in God's word. We're looking to God like a magician, and we're hoping that this, his magic wand, when we wave it around, will do what we want it to do. And it won't. And we get disappointed. And we say faith doesn't work. We say God is not faithful to his word. It's not true. It's because we are trying to make God's word do something that we want it to do, it, instead of saying, God, you speak to me. You tell me. Parents, we have dreams and we have desires for our children. Let me say this lovingly and respectfully. I don't know how else to say it. We push them through school because we want them to succeed, because we want them to have a great job. We want them to be successful. But how many of us, when we find out that we're pregnant, how many of us say, God, what is your wish for this child? And we say, well, I've got faith for my children. I've got faith for them. Well, okay, then where is your faith founded? Well, I think they're going to succeed. I think they'll do well. Now, I said, what is your faith? Where is it? Well, I'm going to be a good parent to them. Yeah, God's going to help me to be a good parent. So they will grow up and they will be good people. They'll be do good at school, especially if they have a teacher like Diane. They'll do good at school. They'll succeed. Yeah, but where's the faith? You see, for us to have faith in God, we need to know what God says. We need to know God. Jesus said in John chapter 15, this is eternal life, that they know the only true living God. They intimately, closely know God. We know what God says. We know what God's will is for our children. We've had people say to us, well, you can't be that sure. It's not possible. How do you know that they are going to turn out the way you say they are? They're not going to turn out the way I say they am. They're going to turn out the way God says they are. Because God has said it. Jesus said, as we saw last week, we're going to get in this boat, we're going to cross the sea, and we'll get to the other side. And there was a storm. But God had spoken into the heart of Jesus, and he knew that they would get there. It was done. The money was in the bank. If you want to say it that way. In the heart of Jesus Christ, it was there. A friend of Jesus died. His name was Lazarus. And 4 days later, Jesus turns up at the grave. And people are still mourning the death of this precious man, Lazarus. And the Bible says that Jesus wept. Have you ever read that? It's the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11, verse 35. Have you ever read that? Jesus wept. And we think, ah, Jesus has got emotions. Because he's sad because his friend has died. That's not why Jesus was crying. Because 4 days earlier, he'd said to his disciples, it's okay, guys. He will live. He will live. How did he know he would live? Because his father had shown him. Did he have faith in his ability to raise people from the dead? No. He had faith in God. Can you hear me this morning? Oh, I pray this word is coming into our hearts. Because it liberates us and it sets us free. It brings life with it. God's word, the second point, fulfilled by faith and grace and not by achievement or demand. Look at this verse here in Romans 4. For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Therefore, it is of faith. Listen. That it might be according to grace. Faith has nothing to do with us. How about that? You say, well, surely I have to have faith in God. It's by faith and grace. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace are we saved through faith. That's not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Not of works, not of human achievements, but it's a gift of God. My friend, there is something that must go hand in hand with faith in our realization of it, and that is the grace of God. We can't take a hold of God's word and demand that God does something. But we can, by faith, realize that it is by grace that God will fulfill his word in himself. I believe in my heart right now, God is setting us free. There's people here, there's people listening who have tried to hold on in a human type of faith, and they felt the grip has just been let go, and it's because we've missed this aspect of God's grace. We feel we have to do it. We have to have faith, and we have to have enough faith, and we have to be strong enough in faith, and if we don't, God won't do it. It's not true. Faith has to be married with grace, the grace of God. That's how we're saved. The Bible does not say, for by works are we saved through faith. It says, for by grace are we saved through faith. And if our relationship with God starts by grace and faith married together, why should it not continue that way? Why should suddenly living by faith become something that we have to manufacture? We have to produce. That God is watching over us, and he is commanding us, have faith. And we're running around like headless chickens trying to find this source of faith. And the devil is laughing and mocking us. And all the time God says, come here. It's in me. You and me. Jesus prayed in John chapter 17, Father, this is my prayer, that they may be one, just as you and I are one. You see, this is why Jesus was able to speak the word of God, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, because he knew that he and the Father were one. Inseparable. United. My friend, listen, so are we. Because Jesus prayed that prayer and God answered it. Said, yes, son. They will be one with us through your work. The work's done. The work is done. The provision for us to have faith in God is done. It's finished. It's not by works. It's not by achievement. Faith doesn't come because you're such a good person. Don't try to be bad on purpose. Faith won't come. Listen, the Bible says faith comes by hearing the word of God. Not by trolling through the Bible trying to find a scripture that fits your situation. You're a single person and you want to go and live with someone else and enter into a sexual relationship. I need to find a scripture that says it's okay for me to do it. Well, I can give you one if you like, but it doesn't say that because it's out of context. Some of you guys may feel tempted to go and have sex with prostitutes. And you say, well, Rahab was a prostitute, and she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in what we call the hall of faith. So it must be okay. And one of the prophets, I think it was Isaiah, who was it? One of the prophets, God instructed to go into a foreign nation and marry Hosea, thank you, and marry a prostitute. You say, well, then it's okay for me to engage sexually with prostitutes. Oh, come on. Well, I've got faith for that. No, you haven't. You've just got a selfish desire that needs to be crucified with Christ. That's misusing and abusing God's word. Faith doesn't come by achievement or demand. Can you hear this morning? It's faith in God. This is why we need to know God, unlimited, almighty, eternal, all-sufficient one. And so the list goes on. If you have time, do a study on the names of God. Not to fill your head with all sorts of Hebrew and Greek words, but to discover who God is. Jehovah, you say, why do you pray when people get sick that God heals them? It's easy. Because God is Jehovah Rapha. God, my healing. I don't pray because I've got some great revelation about it, or because, you know, I think I've got healing powers. I haven't got any healing powers. Don't go looking at me to get healed. Look to Jesus. But if you're sick, I'll pray for you. And I'll believe in Jehovah Rapha, who is God our healing. Faith in God. Not just about him, in him. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. In the presence of him who believed, of him whom he believed, God, listen, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Now, don't go home, open up your bank account, and look at that line that says how much your employer pays you, and go confessing over that. Well, it says 2,000,001, but I declare it to be 4,000,001. I'm calling those things which aren't as though they already exist. Now, if God told you to do that, do it. But don't just use it as a magic wand to get what you want. There's a big difference between faith and foolishness. The Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. He lives independent from God. And when we just go running around making crazy statements of things that we want that God hasn't talked about, that's living by our flesh independent of God. And God won't respond to that. He can't. It's outside of his word. But when our hearts are humbled before God and we know him, we know that he is the one that brought life into this death situation in our spirit. Our spirits were dead to him, Young Ho, weren't they? Utterly, completely destitute, dead, extinct. And God brought them to life by his spirit. This is the God in whom we have faith. Unlimited, unrestricted, eternal. You see, this is why God calls those things as though they were that don't even exist yet, because he is eternal. He is not bound by time. My friend, faith is not bound by time or matter. Just because the doctor said to my daughter-in-law, you're not going to have a child, does not mean that she will never bear a child. It depends what God says. If you're sick today and you've been to the specialists and they've said to you, there's nothing we can do. You are sick and you will be sick like this for the rest of your life. All we can do is manage your sickness. I have a suggestion for you. How about listening to what God says? Man, we're so quick to listen to specialists. We need to hear what God says. My son was at school. He was, 8 years old. And he's a boy. You know what I mean? He's a boy. Yeah. He's a boy. He's a real boy. He's not, a sissy boy. and very different to his sisters. He is so smart. You know, his sister Jenny, Pastor Jenny, for a little while she worked in a sandwich store, and at the end of the week she was able to take home anything that was out of date, which was a real blessing to us. And so one Saturday she brings home this pastry. It's out of date. We're allowed to eat it, but we didn't. By Monday morning, it's kind of hard and stale. And my son puts it in his lunchbox. He gets to school, and one of the banks are doing a promotion. They're encouraging children to open bank accounts, but you need a pound. It's like 1,800 won. You need a pound to open your account. And he didn't have a pound, but he had a pastry. And he sold this pastry for a pound. I hope the person who bought it is not listening to this. This stale pastry he sold for a pound. And he took it along to these people who work for the bank. He said, "Here's my pound. I want to open an account." And they gave him a soccer ball worth 14 pounds. He is smart. He is smart. But he was at school, and the teachers said to him, one of the teachers said to him, "Dayang," they said, "oh, why are you not like your sisters?" And that got into his heart. And he came home, and we discovered that this was being said to him. And so Papa paid a visit to the school. I didn't get angry. I didn't get upset. I was firm, and I went to the teacher. And I said, "My son tells me that you said this about him." I said, you're telling him lies. You shouldn't compare him to his sisters. He is equally as good as them. And you need to stop right now." And this poor teacher, I had to pray for him afterwards because he was a little bit upset. But Papa was going to tell the truth to his son. And the devil wants to lie to us. And he wants to twist the word of God. And he wants to say it doesn't work. He wants to say it isn't worth believing in God and yielding your life to him. And he's a liar. The Bible says, in fact, he is the father of all lies. He can't tell the truth. And he's always trying to pull us away from God's word, from our relationship with God, because he knows when we distance ourselves from God, we're not listening to what Papa says. We'll believe the lies, we'll believe the deception, we'll believe the accusations, and we'll not be in God, in Christ, and that faith won't be there, but rather will be doubt and speculation and question marks. My friends, I've been crucified with Christ. And so have you. I pastor a dead church. Dead to sin. Dead to the old sinful nature. I've been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that lives. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. Everything has become new. And the life which I now live in this flesh body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We'll finish these notes next week. Let's pray. As we enter into a time of prayer now, this is not just a religious way of closing our service. I want you to stay really focused. Let your heart stay really close to God. Let the Holy Spirit keep speaking to you. And it may be that you have become disillusioned. You felt disappointed in God and His Word. It may be that you have tried to produce faith yourself and you've found you can't. And it's felt like a hopeless pursuit. And now the Holy Spirit is bringing the Word of God into our hearts and bringing truth and therefore liberty and freedom. Oh, my friends, my brothers and sisters, take hold of that right now. Take a hold of it. Draw close to God. Come close to Him. Listen to His voice. Listen for His heartbeat. Some of you may even be thinking, but God will scold me. He will rebuke me because I got it wrong, my friends. No, He won't. No, He won't. He will embrace you into His bosom because He desires for us to know Him and to live by faith in Him. And it's only in Him that we can discover that faith. It's only in His Word, as the Word becomes flesh and dwells amongst us through Christ Jesus, that faith can be found. Let the Holy Spirit have His work in your heart right now. If you're in that conversation with God and you say, God, help me, God will help you. If you feel you need to come to the front here as if it were the altar of God and you just need to kneel before Him and draw close to Him, just draw close to Him, then do that. Don't consider what everybody else is doing, but come right close to God. Let His Spirit fill you. Let His Spirit draw you to God. Let His life flow into your heart. And as we do, that faith, it will arise. Oh, Father, thank You for this work that You're doing. That in You, we find faith. We see it married with grace. We see that it's not a work that we have to do. It's not an obligation that You put upon us. It's not a demand. It's not an impossible project that You give to us, God. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God. Thank You that as we draw close to You, so You draw close to us. And You fill us with Your presence, not just for these moments, but for the whole of our life. Not just while we're in a church service setting, but in every circumstance and situation that we find ourselves in, God, that You fill us and You flood us with Your presence, that we may have faith in You. The One who causes that which is dead to have life. The One who calls and sees those things which are unseen as though they already exist. God, in You we find ourselves, we place ourselves, we join ourselves with You, for You are our life, You are our hope, You are our everything. As we stay in prayer this morning, I want to take a moment to talk to anyone who's never given their life to Jesus. Right now, that gift of faith in Jesus is available for you to believe in Him as your Savior from sin, the giver of eternal life, to become your master of your life. Pray something like this. Say, God, thank you for your love. Thank you that you don't give up on me. Thank you that you gave Jesus, that you demonstrated your love while I was still a sinner. But now I come to you and I repent of my sin. And I receive your forgiveness. I receive your eternal life. I receive the gift of your Holy Spirit. And I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a saint who has been saved by grace. Lord God, thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen.